Welcome to the Salesforce Developer Podcast. My name is René Winkelmeier, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Salesforce Developer Advocates who are going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and everything actually you have to know these days as a Salesforce developer. Now, today I'm very happy to talk about Dreamforce, which was for us just, you know, a couple of days ago. And on the podcast for that is today, Philippe Ozil.
Yep. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, René. So yeah, it's been quite an adventure, a week full of surprises and innovation, and I think we have plenty of things to discuss in this short podcast. What shall we start with?
I think there's a lot of things, and we just can't fit it into one podcast, I guess. So let's see what we think is most important. Now, I would say let's start with like platform. And Philippe, for example, was a person who ran content for Platform Park. So if you have been at Dreamforce, that's all, you know, a lot of Philippe's work behind this to ensure that the great content is ready for your developers. Now, because Philippe knows all the details, what do you think is like big or was the most like surprising or the most innovation from your end for this?
Yeah. So Platform Park is a large set of demos that represent 26 products that are part of Platform. And these range from traditional products like Flow orchestration to some more specific things like archive and backup or the new line design system. So there's a huge variety, of course, going through the classic like Apex and Dynamo Components, DevOps Center, CLI, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what I found really interesting are a bunch of a few topics in particular, which I wasn't expecting ahead. One of them is, for example, the new updated line design system. We're still figuring out the name, but it's likely going to be called Line Design System 2 or SLDS2. It's a refresh of the existing line design system with, I would say, a better contrast, better accessibility, takes into account visual patterns for neurodivergent persons. So it's a really nice touch. And it also, what is really nice about this new style system is that it's geared at being more themeable while also preserving any customization you may have made. And I actually ran a number of tests on our sample apps, you know, e-bikes and the others, which have a number of CSS customization. And it turns out it just works out of the box. Looks newer, fresher, and you don't have to worry about it too much. There's going to be some resources likely on our blog to announce it as we move forward to the release. It's not available on all orgs yet. There's a gradual rollout. So stay tuned for some updates on this. The other thing was, I think, super interesting in that it's a really more developer-heavy topic. That's Lightning Web Components local development version 2. That is really, really impressive because if you already tried Lightning Web Development, local development, sorry, in the past, you may have noticed that it was a beta, it was inconsistent, experience at time was broken, and there are a number of limitations when you were working with this. So what's really exciting with the new technique and new tool is that it's hooking up to your web page and it's updating behind the scenes your component in real time with WebSockets. So you really don't have to do anything really. You just save your files in your local IDE or in Code Builder, and then you see the components being automatically refreshed on the page. What's really cool about this is that it keeps the state of the current page you're looking at in your org, and it doesn't require any refresh. It's done behind the scenes for you. If you have, like, for example, tabs open, if you have certain text that is already typed in a field, it should keep it. So it's very powerful there. And not only does it work for desktop, it also works on mobile. There's a way to connect the local dev with a mobile emulator. So that's also pretty cool. Speaking of which, I saw also a number of cool updates on mobile. There are a number of plugins that lets you expose native mobile features like geolocation, calendar, all of these things on Lightning Web Components. And it's becoming closer to GA now. So they're releasing more and more of these capabilities. And when you couple that with the local experience, local dev experience, you can create very quickly interesting apps and also super fast. Now, of course, you probably saw and heard about Agentforce. This was really the highlight of this Dreamforce. There are a number of things that are new, and in particular, the notion of agents, which are AI partners to interact with customers or even internally in your org. This is all based on the new Agent Studio. Agent Studio, in short, is a set of free features, and most of you should already be familiar with those by now. The first one is Agent Builder, which used to be called Copilot Builder. There's Prompt Builder, and there's Model Builder. So this should already be part of some of the things you already know, because these were created a bit earlier this year, and since then they went to GA, and now recently we've enhanced those to deal with agents. Now, what is an agent? Well, it's a personalized AI which works on a set of topics that let you handle specific use cases. For example, if you have service agents working with, I don't know, customer reservations for a hotel, like in the case of our new sample app, Coral Cloud, you can give very specific instructions and topics to only allow this agent to cover requests that are related to guests, to reservation, and to and these kinds of things. So there are some, I would say, you're trying to create a silo with some specific guidelines to working on a specific topic. And obviously, you can create multiple agents, so you have different instances of those agents working for specific use cases. And that's really the future of what we're working with. Now, on top of this, there has been a number of announcements also to support all the tools that let you create agents. And that's around Agentforce, but also Data Cloud. And there are new APIs that are going out there. For example, the Models API, which lets you call your favorite LLM through Salesforce and through the Trust Layer. These are really new, exciting things that our attendees got to learn. Of course, more of this is coming online. We're taking the videos of our sessions online very soon. Some of them are already on Salesforce Plus. I expect a bunch of these also to be available on our Salesforce Developers YouTube channel very soon. And I'm pretty sure at some point we'll also do a number of blog posts to do some recaps of what happened. That's it in a nutshell. I know I spoke for quite some time, but there's a lot to cover. I'm pretty sure I forgot some things because it's been really a whirlwind. There's been quite a lot going on. Anything I should talk about, Renee, that I may have forgotten?
I can't remember, actually, because it was so much.
Time flies.
I think you highlighted definitely various of the core elements for platform developers, really. So I want to double-click a bit on SLDS2. I said, actually, in Truth to the Core, and if you don't know what that is, that's a very good session where you can tell actually us, Salesforce, what we should do better. I'm going to link the recording also in the show notes. Kat Holmes, our chief design officer, actually shared some news around SLDS. It will be rolled out gradually, right? So some orgs already have the new design. There will be a switch coming in your org where you can like work with it and figure it out, especially when you have, as Philippe mentioned, more customizations to see how it goes. Dark mode is coming, right? Which is very, very exciting, actually, for people like me. And I also see Philippe nodding here. So that would be amazing. But I think what's more tangible actually is LWC local development. I think that's something we have really waited for to really shorten the cycle of the inner loop in your own development cycle, right? As Philippe already explained, I think what's really the key benefit is really you no longer have to deploy to an org, right? We are using the same mechanism, hot module reloading, hot module replacement, actually, like on WebSockets, as you know from other frameworks like Webpack, Nuxt, and so forth, like really following the industry standard. I'm not sure, Philippe, have you worked with it already? Is it like really local development?
Or? Yeah, it is. It is. It's really impressive, honestly. Yeah. You just save the file and boom, the web component just updates magically on the live site. So it's crazy, really.
Is it local offline development?
No, not offline, because you do need to have the org page open up. So, I mean, you still need a connection to get to the app and load the real data, sorry. So yeah. You need an internet connection. It's not offline. Which is the small difference compared to the previous one. You do need a connection there.
Which I think is fine, right? Yeah. So I was talking with the PM, PM means product manager, about that. And, you know, there, at the end, I think what was lacking also in the initial version of LWC local development was you could work offline, you could mock all the data, but let's be realistic. how much work is that?
Yeah, there was a lot of data to be mocked. Really, it's not ideal. And what was also super hard with the previous local development is that you had to mock any dependencies that you had. So if your component was getting another component, then another component, if you're working on higher level component, was a nightmare. So yeah, definitely not the future.
And if you have like customizations on CSS and things, you know, closing also the bit of the loop on SLDS. It was not like, you know, it was good, but it was not ideal, right? You could never see like the real outcome. So anyway, short point is, as Philippe mentioned, it's really exciting. I'm also going to put the docs link in the show notes. You can figure it out, try it yourself. It's in beta. You can do it in Squareworks and in a sandbox. Definitely to try something. Now, one thing you also mentioned, Philippe, is our new SampleApp Core Cloud.
Yep.
Which you all should know that Philippe spent a good amount of time to make this really ready for being open source at Dreamforce. Can you explain more a bit about the app?
Sure. Yeah, I went a bit fast on this one. So what is Core Cloud? Core Cloud is part of our new series of sample apps, and it's an app that takes a hospitality use case to basically teach you, as developers, about agents, about prompts, and about data cloud. It comes with a trailhead batch that you already wrote that lets you explore the app, and it teaches you really how to use those features and how to get access to the AI and explore the power of data cloud. Because one of the main problems we had with those products is that they're pretty advanced and it's kind of hard to start just from documentation. So we felt like providing an environment where some things were already pre-built would let you explore them in a very easy way. So you can explore the metadata and you can really enrich it by adding your own customization on top of this app. Again, you can see agents, you can see prompts, you can see data cloud. And data cloud, you have data streams, you have calculated insights, you have these things which are very powerful. How we came to build this app with this hospitality use case? Well, that's based on a series of workshops that we ran around the year. And we were on the road showing people building this app from scratch. Now, it takes a bit of time to build everything from scratch, so we decided to pack it up and have it readily available as a sample app. So the setup is fairly short. Instead of spending maybe 2 or 3 hours setting up everything manually, we come up with a pre-made org that is ready to use, and you can install. You can still export the metadata, obviously, because it's still interesting to look at how this was built, but you can directly experiment with the app without wasting the time to install it. So yeah, huge achievement. It was a team effort, not just me. The entire developer advocacy team was behind this cool app. I think it's just the beginning because we still need to expand on this app, so we'll add new stuff on it, and I'm sure we'll write blog posts and videos to share more about this.
Absolutely. And I think if you have been at Dreamforce, you eventually saw this. Like, we use Core Cloud really throughout the ground floor as Moscone West, like Trebizond Forest, for all the activations for technical audiences. I think, because it's really important that, as we did in the past with LWC recipes, with e-bikes, with Dreamhouse, right, with all the sample apps, like to provide you a consistent experience, really specialized in one area, like Core Cloud, really for data and AI. While the others are, for example, for best practices on LWC. So I think that's also super cool. Anything else you saw at Dreamforce that you think you...
Again, there's plenty. As you said, we could have like a series of episodes of podcasts to cover everything. Well, there are also some cool things coming up in the tooling space on top of just local dev. There's been a number of updates on Scale Center. We saw some good demos on Apex Guru and the related tools like Code Analyzer. Now, this, what I found interesting, and I really recommend that all of you watch the developer keynote. It's been recorded, so it's going to be available. I mean, it's already available on Salesforce Plus and should be available maybe later on YouTube. There's been a number of updates on this space for Scale Center and Apex Guru. One of the biggest complaints I heard the product managers were receiving from customers was that the data and all of the feedback was only available in production orgs. Now, this is evolving now, and I heard that they're looking at expanding Scale Center and just Apex Guru to be working on your sandboxes and closer actually to your development environments. So it's interesting because it's also coupled with code analysis tools like Code Analyzer. So I think there's a lot of future changes there, which are looking for the best in terms of code quality. That's another really exciting news there. And I'm probably missing a few other things, but I think these are really my highlights.
Okay, cool. I think that's already a good list of highlights to keep someone for a month busy just to exploring that. I think I really don't want to add anything to that. The color that you just made for the developer keynote, I think it's also something I want to add to the show notes. It's definitely worth 50 minutes of getting into, you know, seeing actually everything we talked about, right?
And I've heard from a good number of people that it's been the most technical we ever gave. So I really recommend that you check it out.
Which is great, right? And yep. You'll also see some of the great features around Data Cloud that we didn't touch yet, but I guess we will do in the future with Danielle or David, as like Data Cloud One, right? Or Data Graphs, actually.
Data Graphs, yes.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot to cover.
Worth an episode.
Yes. And actually, I'm going to reserve this for the next episode. So thank you very much, Philippe, for your very nice recap of what is important to you or what's important to you at Dreamforce. We're just recovering. So this is recorded, as you know. So you will hear this in a week later when we're hopefully in a state to ship more on this on the blog and on YouTube.
Yeah,
Philippe, it was great to have you on the podcast. And happy listening.
Thank you all.
If you're still here, thanks for listening. And head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.